This is Celebration Church, but it's more than just a building or a church. We have a calling to be a place where people can find a relationship with God instead of religion. A place where freedom is found and acceptance given, and every person can discover their purpose and experience the kind of fulfillment only God can give. Together we will raise, lead, and empower a generation to change the world. Here, Jesus is famous, and all the glory goes to God. This is Celebration. This is our family. Welcome home.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to church. Why don't you guys stand with me? I want to welcome everyone here and in Stevens Point and watching online. So glad to have you guys with us this morning. Let's start off by reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith and what we believe here at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. So good to be here with y'all again. Y'all, I'm not from the South. Grew up in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Big city. But yeah, it's cool to be here with you. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Phil Gunger. I'm one of the pastors here. My father, Mark Gunger, is the lead pastor. And this was kind of the weekend where everyone's getting in their last vacations, right? So we all had our vacations planned. And then on Tuesday, my dad told me he wanted to take one too. So here I am. We were just up in Door County, so I drove back from Door County, and it was nice. And I know what you're thinking. And it's, yes, I do have a cat t-shirt on. Thank you. I had a friend who had this shirt and told me that if I wore it on Sunday, he would give it to me. I said, okay. And he took it off right there and he handed me the shirt. So, easiest t-shirt I ever won. All right, well, at this time, before we jump into the message, this is the time in our service where we'll take our tithes and our offerings. And of course, since we're not handing out baskets, we're doing it all digitally. We do have a few ways to do it. So if you're watching online, you've got online, click to give buttons that you can hit there. You can go to celebrationchurch.tv, click on there to give. And then we have the text to give. And it's funny. I know that this is working, the repetition, because my kids can quote this entire part of the verse. They're often saying 77977, CCWI. And then they wanted to see what happens if I send a bunch of zeros to that number. Like, stop, kids, just... Is there really someone on the other end, like, texting back? No, it's a system. Anyway. But you can give. Text to give. So you would text to the number 77977, and then in the message you would put CCWI, and then the dollar amount. So if it's $50 CCWI, and then you put in $50, then you can text to give that way. I also really appreciate all of you who have switched over to recurring giving. That's been a huge help to us, and we do appreciate you guys. If you haven't done that, you can jump online and you can check that out as well. Call the church office. We'll help you get that set up. So, all right. With that out the way, let's jump into the message. Now, for those of you who are the regular attenders, you know, I was actually here a couple of weeks ago and I was talking about love. All we need is love. No. Actually, when I think of the love sermon, I was thinking that, what is love, baby? Right. All the people my age are understanding that. Everyone else, like, he's weird. Yes, I am. But anyway, that's what goes through my head when I think of that. And I was talking about love, and I opened with this scripture, and I kind of want to pick up wasn't able to get all that I wanted to say about it. So, yay, I got you guys again. And the first verse we looked at was in John 13. And this is where Jesus is talking. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. He says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And every time I read that, I'm always blown away, because this is the dude, right, that, I mean, he healed the sick, raised the dead, walked on water. I mean, why didn't he say, listen, everyone's going to know you're my disciples because y'all are going to walk on water. Okay, that's going to be like our thing. That's the, you know, you'd see us all running across Lake Michigan right now. Oh, they must be a Christian there. But he didn't choose that. He said, no, it's if you love one another. And if you've ever gotten around someone you really don't like, you realize that that's probably a bigger miracle than walking on water at times. Amen? And yet this is what we're commanded to do. This isn't even a suggestion. Hey, you guys should try to. This is a command I give you. You need to love one another. And then we jumped in and we started looking then at, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter where Paul is talking to the church there in Corinth. And he kind of used the same example. He says, you know, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter if you're the smartest person. It doesn't matter if you're the most spiritually gifted person. It doesn't matter if you're the most generous person. If you don't have love, nothing. You are nothing. It means nothing. It's empty. And he's putting this emphasis on, listen, it's about love. This is what it's about. And now where we didn't jump into is where he actually explains then what love is. And I want to pick up there. So today I want to start at 1 Corinthians 13, start in verse 4. Now he gives the description of this is what love looks like. What is love, baby, right? Just keep that going in your head. I hope every time you hear that song now, you think of this sermon. All right. He says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. It says love never fails. Now, if you are ever wondering how you're doing in this area, and you want to know kind of how am I standing up, am I walking in love, remove the word love and insert your name, and then read it. Phil is patient. Phil is kind. See how far you get until you're like, okay, yeah, you know. I mean, I'm fairly patient. Okay, Phil's patient. You get to Phil is kind. I'm like, yeah, okay, I need to work on that. You know, my wife reminds me it's not always what I say, it's how I say things. Amen. What? You got to be kind and nice. And you can hit this. And it's so easy to kind of lose track of where you are and how you're loving. Because there's this thing that we all struggle with. And they're called our opinions. And our opinions, they're great. They're wonderful. They're what that set us apart, right? They're what makes us different and unique. That's great. But some of us, and I'm preaching to myself a lot here, if you know anything about the Gungers, we have a lot of opinions. And most of us are not afraid of sharing them with other people. I'm probably one of the more mild-mannered ones, but still, you put me next to normal people, and I seem very opinionated. In my family, I'm a little more mild. But it's very easy for me, I know, to almost get my identity from my opinion. And when someone comes up against my opinion, then it's time to fight because I put all of my thought and focus in my opinion. But that's not how it's supposed to be. And I'll find it. And this was a reminder as I was reading through this, you know, like, man, those times that I get triggered, I almost need to put my situation and put it in there. Am I being patient? Am I being kind? No, shoot. You know, and it's so easy. I mean, in life, it's just easy in general, just when times are normal, right? If you're married, you're going to bump into each other's opinions. And I think this should be done this way, and I think it should be done that way. And most marriage arguments are stupid arguments, right? And as we always say in Laugh Your Way, it comes down to one simple thing. How come you can't think more like me? Because you're wrong, I'm right. And you spend a lot of time trying to point that out to the other person, right? But we got to be careful because when we're doing that, sometimes we're not patient, we're not kind, we're not thinking of the other person. Or if you have kids, patience, patience. They'll figure stuff out. I don't know if you guys have kids. Remember when you had that first one and like they're not doing something and you freak out, right? So it could be like they're not figuring out potty training. You know, they're never going to figure out how to go to the bathroom. I like have to remind myself and remind my wife, you know what? I don't think they'll be 18 years old and still pooping their pants. They will figure it out, okay? Just have a little patience. Unfortunately, yes, all of them are still, they're now past that stage. Hallelujah. Man, when you get past the diaper stage too, right? It's free at last. Thank you, Jesus. All right. That wasn't in here. Just that bubbled up from my spirit. Okay. but there's times these days, especially when our opinions really get going. Really, the truth is, the closer you get to an election year, the more your opinions seem to matter. When other people's opinions matter. And then today, too, you know, when you've got things of even the, you know, we've got all the different debates, the mask, don't mask debate, you know, all those things. And you just got to be careful, because I know if you're like a pro-masker, you're in, you're wearing your mask, but then there's that person, right, that's in line in the grocery store. And it's like they don't know how to wear a mask, apparently, right? It's like kind of not completely over their mouth, and it's kind of sitting there, right, just breathing all over everything, and you get triggered. And you want to just yell at them. Those be a good time to remember, be patient, be kind. Or maybe you're the person, you don't like the masks. Nah, I don't want to wear a mask. And you're fine, but then you're going along, right? And you're driving down the highway. And you look over in the car next to you. There's a guy by himself with the windows rolled up going 70 miles per hour. Wearing a full mask and shield and everything. And then, you know, you're not sure, do I get angry or should I be concerned? Like, was there a new study that found out that actually the corona is attracted to velocity? And the faster you're going, it's coming after you. You're more susceptible to 70 miles per hour than you are just walking slowly. Right, and you do, and you get triggered and you just want to tell them how wrong they are. That's not the point of my message. But it's like, you got to be careful because, wait, I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be kind. And so we got to be careful we're not getting all of our identity from our opinions, right? Because what happens if we do that? We're not going to live peaceful lives. We are going to be fighting with everyone and every person that comes around. You know, in Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews, I threw a B in there. It's kind of like my little daughter. I found that she says she likes barbecue sauce, and she says barbecue. Now, throw in an extra B. I love it. Anyway. So Hebrew bibs. Throw in a couple of B's for you. Whoever the writer of Hebrews is, put it in there. But he's talking about, he says this here in verse 14. Talking about living in peace, right? He says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And see, what so often happens is when something comes up and they come up against your opinion or there's that area of conflict comes up, we lose all semblance of peace. First, it starts off as an irritation. Begins to fester a little bit. And then before you know it, it's just anger and then bitterness. And then everyone comes around us, you know, we're just puking out our bitterness all over them. You know, and the key idea he talks about here when he's talking about this bitterness, he says, if you are allowing a bitter root to grow up in your heart, then you have missed the grace of God. And why does it say that? Because when an issue or something pops up and a conflict becomes between you and someone else, our first response is to magnify the offense. As we talked about marriage arguments, people get divorced sometimes over the silliest, when they explain them to you, the silliest things. Well, how did that happen? Because what happens when you get offended? You magnify your offense. You blow it up. And then you need to defend yourself. And you need to stand up and defend that opinion. You need to spend your time proving the other person wrong. I mean, you go into armed combat to show how right you are. Right? It's like your opinion in, you know, it's kind of like a damsel in distress. And as soon as someone comes along and tries to attack that, right, you think you come in like the white knight coming to save your opinion with a cat t-shirt. But you got to be careful when that happens. You're not always helping anyone. Sometimes when that happens and it's more out of bitterness and anger, you're just injuring more people than you're helping. You know, at least that's what our human response is, right? What our sin nature tells us we gotta do. We gotta fight. Gotta fight for those things. And I'm not saying you can't have disagreements. You need to have disagreements, okay? And arguments that you shouldn't stand up for right and that you shouldn't have opinions. Yes, yes, yes. We just need to be careful how we do that as a church. Or you're gonna end up just hurting more people and helping more people. And your opinions have the ability, and your ideas and your arguments can have the ability to really help people. You know, but there's another response that should come up. You know, 1 Peter 5, he tells us this. He tells us what grace does, because there's a grace of God that is at work in our hearts. And when we think about an issue or something that comes up, he tells us that all of you, he says this, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time, and cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So what is he saying? He says, listen, we need to actually choose to be humble, which is not easy to do when someone's driving you crazy and you know that they're wrong. And what is humility? What does it look like? Well, Philippians 2 tells us this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look to your own interests only, but also to the interests of others. So humility is considering others better than you. It's looking at that conflict. It's looking at that person across from you that you know that they're wrong. And then thinking, how can they come out as a winner? How can they win? Because that's not what our initial response is. Our initial response is always, I have so many ways to tell you how wrong you are. And let me show you how wrong you are. And you get in your little fights. But all that happens is just it turns into this cold war. Yeah? You ever gotten into one of those with your spouse before? Where it's like, yeah, we live together, but keeping one eye on them because you're arguing over some little thing and neither of you wants to give in. Well, here's what it says. This humility says, wait a sec, how do I help the other person win? And that is not easy to do. That's why we need the grace of God. You know, when we have a conflict or disagreement, we want to see how we can win, but the humility says, how can they win? And that's the type of attitude that we need to have, and we definitely need the grace of God at work in our lives to help make happen. You say, yeah, 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 but what if the other person, I mean, like, really, really is wrong? Right? I mean, there's some chance they're just wrong. They are wrong. Okay, okay. Once again, the grace of God comes and it says, just let it go. You know, even when we are in the right, we don't have to claim our rights. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. See, this is where when you start thinking, do I have love inside of this, and what comes first, really starts to affect and mess how you deal with people, deal with others, deal with your relationships, those that are close and just those crazy strangers you meet on the sidewalk. When you're putting love first, things change. The way you approach things change. The way how you think and you're walking in humility and grace, thinking of how I can love someone, it changes you. Because it's easy to do, man. It's easy for me to put the number one thing I'm putting up on top of what I'm going to pay attention to is my opinion and my thoughts and what I think is right. But as Jesus taught us, there is a commandment that is great. And guess what it is? It is not love your opinion with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But it's love the Lord your God. You know, we see this in Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and maybe you're a new Christian or you never know who these Pharisees and Sadducees are. I can give you a quick little lesson. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are kind of like the religious leaders of the day. And not kind of, they are for the Jewish people there. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're both Jewish and stuff, but they have things they disagree on, you know. So like the Pharisees, they're more like really what you would see they're kind of almost the spiritual fathers, if you will, of what current, you know, Judaism is today. They believed in the oral law. They believed in the written law. They believe in, you know, life after death, a version of heaven and hell, and some other differences. And then you have the Sadducees, and they only believed in the written law, but not the oral law. They kind of viewed themselves as elitists. They also did not believe in life after death, because that was only in the oral law, not the written law. And so they just thought you died and the lights get turned off. And these two groups, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they made up this thing called the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like, I'll describe it, I don't know, it's kind of like Congress and, you know, the court system all at the same time, Supreme Court, I guess. And they would sit there and they would argue back and forth these different things that people would come up with problems, right? And their law of what they decided things was on the written law. Of course, then the Pharisees and Sadducees would argue, well, in the oral law it says this, well, I don't, anyway. So these people would argue this all the time, and then Jesus came along and started throwing things on their heads, kind of ticked these people off. And so they would come and they would ask him these questions. They'd try to get these, you know, questions. One of the last times they talked to him, because eventually they learned we need to not ask him any more questions anymore because he's making us look silly, was when they came and they asked him about what's the greatest commandment. And so we can pick this up in Matthew 22, verse 34. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came to him with something, and he silenced them. That would be awesome to be as wise as Jesus, be able to silence people. Anyway, the Pharisees then get together. So the Pharisees are like, okay, we're gonna get him here. And then one of the guys, he's an expert in the law, but like a lawyer kind of guy or something, he tests him with this question. So he says, teacher, speaking to Jesus here, he says, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And there's like 600 and something commandments. Jesus replied, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That was one of their commandments. You can find it in Deuteronomy somewhere. And he says, this is the first and greatest commandment. But then he doesn't stop. He says, and the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So he boiled it down to two things. Love God, love people. Love God and love people. And those are the things that need to come before my thoughts and my opinions and my irritations. First, I need to love God. Then I need to love people, which means I need God, because I don't know if God's met all the people that I've met. God, do you know them as well as I know them? Because are you sure? In fact, you guys, you see that little comic strip going around on Facebook? I saw Deanna had just posted it, but it's where Jesus is, this comic strip, he's talking to the people, and he says, you know, you need to be nice to everyone. And someone from the crowd says, you know, even Carl? Someone else from the crowd, yeah, Carl's the worst. Jesus is like, yeah, yes, even Carl. Carl's like, ha, 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 take that. He's like, not now, Carl. But sometimes we think that. We think, yeah, he tells us to love everyone, but even Carl? You've met Carl, right? And we think like this. But, you know, we can still, you know, get around others and, you know, share our thoughts and our opinions. And we just, you know, if you're married, you're still going to have to argue through things. You're going to still have conflict. You're going to have conflict at work. You're going to have conflict with friends. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. But listen, you got to be able to keep checking yourself through the mirror of, am I loving God and am I loving people? You can still argue through things. You can still stand up and fight for what you need to fight for. Yeah, absolutely. But you can still do that through love. And you can still love that other person. And she's, you know, just be careful with what you do. And you can kind of check yourself. And it's, because it's easy, especially in this day and age, to share your opinions, you know, because you've got a phone and thumbs and the world needs to hear what you think about everything. Right? And have you noticed that no matter what you say, if it's an opinion on anything, before you know it, 6 comments in, someone's going to be telling you how you're stupid and you should die for your thought. Seriously. You know, I mean, it could be a discussion over boxers and briefs, and man, that'll turn just nasty. Right? Or an argument over, you know, should pineapple be on pizza? And people lose their junk over that. Which is crazy, because we all know, no, pineapple does not belong on pizza. What? What's with the argument there? See, there's like at least a half or a third of you right now like, oh my goodness, if I could just tell him how wrong he is. I've looked this up on Wikipedia, and I'll actually tell you, there was all, you know. Tranquilo, it's okay, relax. But that's what happens. And it's very easy to jump on and just to go and at people and being bitter. And before you know it, you can find you're spending more of your time trying to prove people wrong than you are thinking about loving anyone. You know, because as the church, we are called to love other people. And right now, we live in a world who needs God's grace, that needs the love of God shown. And I tell you what, if we as Celebration Church can go out there and shine love everywhere we go, people will know there's something different about us. Jesus said so. They will know you are mine if you love one another. You know, and so I can't go out there and reach everyone in your life, in your world, but you can. There's people you run into every day who need the love of God. So what does that mean? Is it just be nice to them? Be gentle. In humility, think of how can I help that person win in situations? Because that doesn't make any sense. And they're going to start wondering, why are you so nice? Why are you doing that? You can be honest, well, I have to. I'm a Christian. It's true, man. And you can start to share it. But you want to know why? Because God loves me so much. Because even when I was just a loser, a sinner, nothing going for me, I didn't do anything, and yet Jesus comes, he dies on the cross for my sin. He loved me before I ever loved him. And it's because of that love and that gospel story that we're drawn into that. So look for those opportunities. You can go out there and you can share that love and you can point them back to the gospel message, to the love of God. Because listen, if it was except for his grace, we can't do this. I mean, how can you actually, with all those people out there that want to drive you crazy, how can you love them? Because what we would do is we would just draw lines in the sand. And we'd say, if you think like me and you act like me, I'll love you. We can all go to heaven. The rest of y'all are going to hell. Right? Easy to do. I'm guilty of that. You know, we're supposed to cross over there. We're supposed to love these people too. Say, God, I need your grace. I'm going to chat with so-and-so today. Oh, Lord. And he'll be there. His grace will be sufficient for everything that you need. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer this morning. Well, God, you are very aware of how difficult it is for us to love others. But you made a big point to remind us that that is what we need to do. That God, as we love you and we love others, we trust that your grace will be there for us to love those around us. God, and help us do that. Help us shine your love to this world. The world is hurting. The world is scared. The world isn't sure what way is up probably at times. But God, your love comes in and it can bring peace. It is patient, it is kind, it is gentle. Help us to share that. And Lord, if there's someone here today and with us and watching online and they think, you know what, I want that love of God in my life. And maybe they've never made that commitment. God, I pray you just begin to move in their hearts. Just begin to call them to you. And if that is you, in a moment, well, the campus pastors are going to give you an opportunity to make that commitment to follow Jesus Christ. So I just encourage you all, just as you go out into the world, into your families, into your businesses, into all your friends and influences you have, I pray you go out there and you love God and you love people. Amen.